joy,
peace, love. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to the Spirit, from the Spirit, will reap eternal life. Wow. Father, we thank you for this word. And we ask that you would speak today to our hearts and our minds. Make it clear. Show us individually how this applies to us and collectively. And Holy Spirit, give us the strength to sow into the Spirit, and not into the flesh. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we all know, the book of Galatians was written to, as we've put it, recovering, not alcoholics, not workaholics, but Pharisees. We all have that in our nature, that we can do it. You're also aware that he had written and preached to the Galatians about salvation by grace alone, through Christ alone. And the Pharisees came and said, okay, that's okay about Christ, right? We need Christ, but we also need Moses. We need the law. And you just can't have one without the other. But we know the truth, that the gospel is what God does for us in Christ, by His grace in Christ alone. Sort of like basketball season now, right? We're in the playoffs. And you see, especially some of the teams have gone to a lot of three-point shooting, and especially, you know, Golden State with Steph Curry, right? And he'll be 30, 40 feet from the basket, and shoo, nothing but net, right? Swish! No backboard, right? No bouncing off the rim. No spinning around the rim and finally in. No, just swish, nothing but net. That's the way the gospel is. It's by His grace alone. Nothing but grace. No works. Not by human effort, but by God's grace. That's the heart of the gospel. So what does Paul mean here in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7? Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Is he saying, as you, comes even more, a bit of a question when he says, the one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature he will reap destruction. This sounds like, what I do, I earn. He goes on to even eternal life. He says, the one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Interesting, isn't it? It seems like, if we didn't know the whole counsel of God, that your eternal life is based upon what you sow. How would you explain this? That's one of the challenges before us today. He's not preaching, let me assure you, that it is off the backboard. He is not telling us that it's got to hit the rim first. Now, it's still swish, nothing but net, nothing but grace. But he is dealing with perhaps a deception there, not from the Judaizers, but perhaps a reaction from the Galatians that, oh, since we're saved by grace, since we have it made, we don't have to do anything. Notice he says in verse 7, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. In other words, God has set certain laws. Oh, here we go with laws. In motion, that what you reap, you sow. Let me explain it this way. We have seen in Galatians 5, we've been told to walk in the Spirit, live from the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit, right? The answer to the riddle here is that it's another way of saying of walking in the Spirit. He is shifting metaphors from the flesh and the Spirit being at war in Galatians 5 to one of agriculture, from fighting to forming, if you please, to teach us some valuable lessons. He is also answering the question, does it matter what we do? If we are saved by grace and it's all swish, then all I have to do is lay back. I don't even have to shoot the shot, right? As good as Steph Curry is, he still must shoot the shot that goes swish. Sometimes God is shooting 100% from eternity line, not three-point line. I'm trying to get you to think. I'm using basketball. He still has to shoot the shot. You still have to shoot the shot. It's going in. You know that, but you got to shoot the shot. It's countering this idea that it's divine sovereignty, and that's it. No, it's divine sovereignty and human responsibility. God controls everything. But he has given us choices, human responsibility, and they work together to accomplish his eternal will. Let me read you a quote from a commentary by William Perkins. He said this: there are two sorts of seeds which men sow in life, good seed and evil. Two kinds of sowers, spiritual people and carnal people. Two kinds of seeds, right? Two kinds of people, two sorts of ground in which we sow, in which the seed is sown. The flesh is one piece of ground, or kind of ground. The spirit is another kind of ground that we sow into. Two sorts of harvest, which men are to reap according to the seed, a harvest of corruption or a harvest of life. You know, there's an old story, an old joke where people say, well, you know, I sow my seeds and I'll pray for crop failure. No, it doesn't work. God has set certain laws in motion. Grace does not set aside the law. Grace enables us to keep the law. Law is not added to grace for salvation. But you cannot even understand salvation, that you are a sinner, unless the law is there. I hope you're seeing both our responsibility and consequences and God's eternal plan. And I'm here today to tell you that there's some good news. You say, oh, I think about my life. I think about all the seeds that I've sown and all the consequences. What am I going to do? Here's the answer. Sow to please the Spirit and reap eternal life. Sow to what? Please the Spirit. And you will reap eternal life. Notice I didn't say, oh, what about all those old seeds in the flesh that I've... When are you going to deal with that, Pastor? I'll deal with that. But see, we put the emphasis on the harvest. So I've sown a lot of bad seed to the flesh, and now I'm dealing with the consequences. I have too. But God does not bring us to focus on the bad seed and the bad harvest, but on the good seed and the good harvest. I'm here today also to tell you that the blessing, the harvest of blessing, we come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaf. The harvest of blessing is greater than the harvest of the curse. Let's go back to the beginning. Why did God put the law of sowing and reaping into effect? In Genesis 1, it's very informative. See, we have a choice. You say, what does it mean to sow? Where you choose to sow into the spirit or into the flesh. That is, you give into desires to please the spirit. You're sowing to the spirit. When you give in the desire to please the flesh, you're sowing into the flesh. Think about that. And you'll see it in your own life. Many times I have sown to my flesh when I have given in to the desires of my sinful nature. selfishness, rather than giving the desires of the Spirit, which is love. God created the whole universe to run off of law and His direction. In Genesis 1, God created us in His image and after His likeness. Male and female, He created mankind. And then God did what? He blessed them. And then what did He say do after He blessed them? You know it. You've heard it. Be fruitful and multiply. Have a harvest. How can you have a harvest without sowing seed? He was telling them, hey, y'all be fruitful, right? That's sowing. Multiply is the harvest. I forgot to bring a little apple seed. I was going to be Johnny Appleseed today, and I forgot all about it. I was going to bring one little apple seed. And then an apple, an actual apple. And I was going to ask you, which is more important? Which do you focus on? The apple or the seed? Huh? Right now, what's more important? The apple or the seed? No. No. I figured you'd say that. And I say no so you can think. You say, well, it's relative because an apple has seed in it. But which came first, the chicken or the egg? In this instance, which came first, the apple or the seed? The seed. There's more power in the seed than in what? The apple. For by one seed, I can plant a tree and get a whole bushel of apples. But what do we focus on? We focus on the fruit. We focus on the fruit. Whoever has control of the seed has control of the root. And whoever has control of the root has control of the fruit. Think about it. The power of the seed. God in Genesis created a seed and He said it would multiply after its what? Kind. After its kind. It would produce more and more. We focus on the fruit of our lives of bad decisions and live under condemnation. Focusing on the fruit. How can I manage this fruit? You can't manage the fruit. You're not in control. But God does say you can sow to the Spirit. So I come before you again to emphasize the poor. Sow unto the Spirit and you will reap eternal life. And that eternal life is by quality and quantity. We live in eternal life and blessing now. God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Now when I say that, it comes to my mind to warn you, as those some in the Word of Faith movement say, okay, plant this seed and you're going to get this and that and the other thing. No, he's talking, no, that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about to the flesh and to the Spirit. But there are laws of sowing and reaping that God put there to be a blessing. Be fruitful and multiply. You multiply through the seed, not through the fruit. And that's where our focus needs to be. On the seed. Whoever controls the seed controls the root. And whoever controls the root controls the fruit. Now take that and step that back to the future. And if we're going to look at some of our bad sowing, learn from it. Back it up and say, wow, if I only had sown to the Spirit, I'd have this crop. I can't go back and change that. But I can learn from it. And what you can do is sow to the Spirit for the future. And I'm here today to tell you again that the blessing is more powerful than the curse. I'm here today to tell you that your future is more encouraging and wonderful than your past. And you can control that by what you choose to sow in terms of seed. Do we sow that seed to the flesh? With our desires being satisfied? I've made so many mistakes in my life. Satisfying, sowing to satisfy my flesh. And then getting a bad harvest. But I can sit there and look at that harvest and curse it all day long. Nothing changes. I can't change the harvest, but I can change the future. You say, well, isn't God in control of the future? Yes, He is, but He says, sow for it. Sow for your future. I remember a pastor counseling me one time. And I said, oh, when my ship comes in. He said, you're going to be sitting on the dock of the bay watching the tide roll away. Watching that tide go in and out. Waiting for your ship. He said, you need to get up and build your ship. We're waiting for a harvest. God says, sow. Sow in your life. Sow in your children's lives. Sow into the Spirit. And you will reap eternal life in quantity and in quality. He fixed this as a law. We must not be deceived, as Paul said. We must not mock. But God established this law to be a blessing. I look at Exodus and I see it there. And Exodus 20 gives a law and he says, you know, I'm going to paraphrase it. Those who hate me, they're going to be cursed for the fourth and the fifth generations. But those who love me are going to be blessed for 1,000 generations. Notice the power of sowing to the flesh and to the Spirit. But when you sow to the Spirit, it's thousands of times, infinitely times greater. So why not focus on the seed that's going to be greater than your curse of the past? And we'll deal with that curse later. Did that make sense? Am I just preaching to myself? He says, don't be mocked about this. Don't be deceived. God created the law of sowing so there would be life. For without the seed, there is no life. God didn't have to do this. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they were happy. You know, human beings, they didn't need any moon, stars, and sun, and oceans, and trees, and fruit. They were happy. But they wanted to display their love and their grace in the universe towards us. So they created this whole universe based on laws and tells us to follow them, creates us in His image so that we can reproduce and multiply His image of love and joy and peace to our children and their children. But you know what happened? Along came Satan. No surprise to God. It's all in God's plan. And he goes to Adam and Eve, right? And what does he tempt them with? Help me, somebody, this morning. Y'all asleep this morning? This afternoon, time to wake up. What did he tempt them with? Fruit. He didn't come along and said, hey, here's some grape seeds, here's some apple seeds. What does the devil tip us with today? Fruit. Well, we can see. Oh, that looks good. No mention what God said about the seed. No mention what God says not to eat of that tree. Right? God did not even say fruit. As I think about it, He said that tree. Now, fruit is on the tree. But where did that tree come from? God created it, and He created seeds for it to make more. But He comes along with the fruit. Wouldn't you like to have this? And you say, oh, this would look good to my eyes and make one wise. Ooh, wow. He's appealing. He's presenting the soil of self. In which the seed of sin is going to be deposited. He's not telling them that because the art of the musician is distraction. He's got you distracted, hypnotized by the fruit. Oh yeah, I want some fruit. Oh, that looks good. Oh yeah, I think that would satisfy me. And he's got the seed of destruction behind his back, up his sleeve. Are you with me now? So they take the fruit. They take the bait and they've sinned and they're hiding
And they're living under condemnation of the fruit of the harvest. We live too much, shouldn't live at all in Christ, under the condemnation of the fruit of the seed that we sowed into the flesh. And we get depressed. We get overwhelmed. We become sorrow. But where is the joy of the Lord? It is in sowing, right? To the Spirit. And we experience His love, joy, and peace. So they're all hiding in shame, right? Because they have eaten of the fruit. They are under condemnation. They say, oh, what have we done? Shame, hiding, all of this is going down. All right? So, you've heard the old saying about the power of the seed. Sow a thought. Right? What comes after that? Reap an act. Satan came and sowed a thought. And they reaped an act. Sow an act. And you'll reap a habit. Sow a habit. And you'll reap a character. Sow a character. And you will reap a destiny. This is what happened in Adam and Eve. The whole destiny, so it appeared, of the earth and of man was cursed. So it appeared. The fruit, the fallen nature, death and destruction. But the blessing is greater than the curse. God arrives with good news. And He says, Genesis 3:15, the seed, not the fruit of the woman, but the seed. God say, hey, in Adam all die, but in Christ all shall be made alive. The seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent. The seed. That's the time we see the seed of Abraham. We're looking for what? Not fruit. We're looking for what? Seed. For the power is in the seed. Your future is in the what? Seed. Stop looking at the past and the condemnation. For all of those in Christ who are in the seed, who are sowing to the Spirit, faith, there's no condemnation. It's a bright and wonderful future. There's joy and peace. There's the fruit of the Spirit, but you must focus not on the fruit, but the seed. This is Paul winding this up about walking in the Spirit and loving others. And all of this is in the seed that you sow, that you choose to satisfy. He who controls the seed controls the root and controls the fruit for the future. Your life is not dependent upon what you did in the past. The wild oats, as they say, that you sowed. But it's dependent upon faith in Jesus Christ. I ask you again, what would you rather have? The seed or the fruit? Adam and Eve chose the fruit. Then God offers them the seed. He's offered us the seed. He's offered us the empowerment to sow thought of righteousness, the power through the Holy Spirit to act, to walk in the Spirit, to develop a way of life in the Spirit, and a destiny of glory, of pleasure, of eternal life forevermore. After sowing to the flesh, we try to control the Spirit. We can't do it. Stop doing it. Say it with me. I'm not sowing to the flesh anymore. I'm a sow to the Spirit. I'm not going to try to manage consequences. They're in God's hands. I'm not going to try to manage the stuff I've done and the fruit of it and the consequence. No, I'm going to trust God to take care of that. See, that's what we must not only declare
We must have a vision for what the future holds for us. Blessings, eternal life. There are many, many, a couple of decades ago, there was an Olympic skier by the name of Julia Mancuso. Remember her? When she was a little girl, maybe 4 or 5 years old, she imagined a picture of herself winning the Olympic gold medal in skiing. Real little child. And then she poured the rest of her life. She sowed the rest of her life into training, into lessons, into failures, falling off, getting back up. And guess what? She became Olympic gold medalist in skiing. Am I saying that everybody who sows to a vision is going to receive it? No, God is in control. But He does command us to sow. She had a vision. We don't have a vision of the eternal life and the pleasures at God's right hand now and for the future. So we go and look to the past. Paul said, forgetting those things that are in the past. What did Paul say to do? I press forward. Right? Forward. He said, I forget about that stuff. I can't change the harvest, but I can decide to sow to the Spirit and not to the flesh. In fact, he wrote this in very encouraging word. In 2 Corinthians, my wife and I, when we were in college together, there was an instructor, a teacher, who understood 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And it was so encouraging to hear this. And it never stops being an encouragement to me, and I'm sure to others. Verse 14 of 2 Corinthians 5. For Christ's love compels us. That's what's moving us. Because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. We have died to the flesh. We were crucified with Christ. We've been called in Romans 6 to mortify, that is to kill the desires of the flesh. How? By embracing the love of God. For Christ's love is what compels us now, not our sinful nature. And therefore all died. And He died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves. Just not to focus on my desires and wants and sinful nature, but for Him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Are you still looking at yourself from a worldly point of view and what you did and the fruit of it? Though once we regarded Christ in that way, Paul said, once I thought He was a false prophet and da-da-da-da. We do so no longer. We must do so. You hear me? No longer. When the devil comes, as he did with Eve and Adam, with the fruit, say, I want seed. And the seed that you're toting, I already know what that is. I'm sowing to the Spirit, not to please my sinful nature. So from now on, regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the seed of the woman promised back in Genesis 3:15. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? New creation. Do you really believe that? You're new. And you have been freed to live a life of freedom, no longer in bondage. New creation, referencing
what? The old.
Because he says the old is gone. The new has come. This is good news. All this is from God. Huh? Even though we've sinned, even though we've sown to the Spirit, God says, I'll redeem you. I'll turn your beauty. I'll turn your ashes into beauty. I'll turn your grieving into joy. And you'll say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, yes. And you'll go to La La Land, you're so happy. La La La. Right? Come on now. All this is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ, gave us a ministry of reconciliation. God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. Not what? Not counting men's sin against him. He's not counting the bad seed that you sowed to the flesh against you. He says, this is a new ball game. You're a new creation. Yes, there are consequences. Yes, you have to deal with some of them. But you know now how to deal, right, with the consequences, the fruit of sowing to the flesh. You speak truth. Sometimes you got to speak it to yourself. God's forgiven me. He's not counting that against me. And he's even using the consequences of the bad decisions I made to make me and shape me into the image of Jesus Christ. He works all things together. Even those bad harvests. But he says, I got a bigger and better harvest for you of righteousness. And even those sins and consequences, I'm making you better. Are you with me? Do you see this? Not counting men's sins against him. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Ah, this is a good news, isn't it? And he's committed to us that we ought to share this good news to people. People just like us who've sinned, who sow to the flesh, even as we still do sometimes. But we're no longer under condemnation. We are therefore Christ ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You are. That's who you are. See, that's the righteousness of God. That's who you are. See, that's that vision principle of sowing. See, you got to first see who you are. You're the righteousness of God. You are an heir of God. You are a son and daughter of God. You are blessed beyond the curse. When you see that, it's not that you do nothing. You say, well, oh, if that's who I am, if that's my future, that's my reality, well, let me walk in step with that. Let me walk in the Spirit. Let me sow. That's my life. That's my future. So I want to practice. I want to do physical exercises, but in the Spirit. Paul said physical exercise only profits a little bit. Godliness forever. You throw your whole life behind because you know your goal, you know your future, and it's guaranteed. And it's better than the past. It's better than now. I've got hope. Anchored in heaven in Jesus Christ. That's how Paul saw his life. He wrote this, but he also did a little biography in 1 Corinthians 15:10. He said, you know, I don't even deserve to be an apostle. He looked at all that, those murder there, perhaps Stephen's face shining right before him when at his authorization he had Stephen stoned. Perhaps he thought of all the Christians that he had put in jail and mortared. Seeds that he sown, fruit of his life. But he said, God had grace upon me. God had mercy upon me. And because of the grace bestowed upon me, I worked harder.
than they all. I poured my whole life, once I got a vision of what God had for me to do, to take the gospel to the Gentiles, to save many people. Once I understood that, the past, the fruit of the past was a distant memory. And I poured my energies, my thoughts, my decision into sowing in the Spirit the things of God. And nothing could stop me. And he says, therefore, I have run my race. I've won the gold in the Olympics. I have finished my course with all my heart and all my soul. I have sown into the Spirit. And therefore, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And not only to me, but all who love His appearing. That's not sitting back and say, oh, well, I'm not in control. Oh, well, I'm saved. I have nothing. No! It is the empowerment of the Holy Spirit for you to be who God has called you to be. To life out your destiny and who you are. Therefore, we go back and read Galatians chapter 6. I hope as we read this, you see it a little clearer. You identify with it, and you hopefully you have burdens lifted, and you have a new desire to serve the Lord. In chapter 6 of Galatians, verse 7, God be to see you. I hope your eyes have been opened. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Sow into the Spirit. Choose to please the Spirit and not your sinful nature. And know that God has redeemed your past and He's ordained your future. And it is glorious. Let's go for the goal. Let's go for the glory that God has given to us. Father, we thank you, oh, for the good news in Jesus Christ that we have in our lives. We thank you, Lord, that you've made us new. You've given us new desires and new hopes. Help us to run to win. Help us to sow to the Spirit. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.